From Santa Barbara, California, Timeless Voyager Radio with Bruce Stephen Holmes. Self-development radio for the open mind. Interviews with leading-edge authors and speakers in the fields of environmental issues, alternative health care, new psychology, psychic phenomena, UFOs, and extraterrestrial encounters. And now, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio, and I want to welcome all of you to another episode of Timeless Voyager Radio. My guest today, David Lee Herman. Welcome to the show, David.
Glad to be here, Bruce.
Now, we're going to talk about Operation Graystrike.
Okay.
You have two very important papers that I've read, and also an interesting device. Let's start by talking just a little bit about the idea of the presence of what you call an alien or a tingle field right in the Los Angeles area.
Okay. Well, to begin with, Bruce, in April of 1991, I worked for the motion picture industry, and while on location in a cave known as Bronson Cave in California, which is just north of Hollywood Hills, in the Hollywood Hills, just north of Hollywood, I walked in there with two other people in the course of our work and found what I have come to describe as a tingle field. It appeared first off as an area or cloud-like form of static electricity that maintained its space in the cave where it should not have been able to do so against the wind. And I say like static electricity because when you put your hand into the area, you can physically feel it. It feels just like you bring your hand close to a balloon that's been rubbed or charged with static electricity. So myself and two other people were experimenting with this. And then to our unfortunate discovery, we found it has a tendency to climb up over your body and stay there, at which time there's many negative effects. And the effects range from an increase in heartbeat that won't go down. You're covered with a substance that feels like static electricity but won't discharge if you touch metal. There are other things that happen. Your reaction time slows down. Your thinking becomes muddled. At night, when you go to dream, it affects your dream states. And then you find yourself wanting to do slightly abnormal things like go to the beach when you have to work. Well, maybe that's not such a bad idea.
Sounds like something that might have affected everyone in Southern California. But the point that you're making here is that you have, or you believe you've come across let's not call it a new life form,
okay,
but let's call it a different life form that has not necessarily been listed.
Okay. I agree with that, but I think it has partially been listed by Dr. William Reich in the 50s because he was working with a thing he called orgone fields and orgone clouds, and I believe that after a lot of research on this, is what I've run into is what he termed a DOR or deadly orgone field. And
so this is your premise. This is your opinion.
This is a conclusion.
Your conclusion. It's not even just an opinion at this point.
Yeah, it's a conclusion at this point, yeah.
All right, it's a conclusion.
Okay, and the differential comes in that Mr. Reich was working with the physics of the thing, and I happened to be a natural psychic. So when I came in contact with this, I probed it in the manner that I probe other people and found out it had more or less a personality to it, and gave me the impressions of actually being a living entity or a living creature. The constant impression I had from it was the typical face that you see in UFO situations of the big-eyed, round-headed, tapered-faced object. So, never was involved in UFO up until this point because I felt, some of these people, they're ready for the little...
All right, let's back up for a second because I think that's a good entrance. People know at least what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit about your background. Now, you use the term a natural psychic. Okay. What does that mean?
Well, that means I never had any formal training in it, although if you look at colleges and universities, you'll find there is no way to get formal training in certain subjects, for instance, how to invent something. So I'm a natural psychic that developed the ability myself and came up with different systems to develop the abilities. That's what I mean by natural psychic.
Okay, so in a sense, I mean, my understanding would be that almost all the psychics I ever met had developed it intuitively somehow. I don't think they had studied, although there might be a way to study that I don't know about.
Well, there are certainly ways with yoga and other ways to study it that build up the abilities and different philosophies.
Oh, I see what you mean. In other words, you're saying a person did not willfully determine that they wanted to develop some type of extra power of some type, extrasensory perception or something.
Well, it became necessary the way I grew up to develop it in order for self-preservation in the environment I grew up in, but it was developed from my own standpoint rather than from a teaching standpoint by other people. That's why I say naturally developed or natural psychic.
All right, let's come back to these energy forms then. Now, there are actually two of them that you've discovered.
Mm-hmm.
One you've named the tingle form, and the other one you've named the laminar. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Why don't we discuss quickly the difference between the tingle form and a laminar?
Okay. When you come in contact with what I call a tingle form, this energy field, it could be compared to, say, an aura without a body, would come over your body and engulf you, and it's a telepathic arrangement. It directs, you're supposed to follow suit. It's a one-way street. The feeling that you get from the probing that I do is that the tingle form has, it operates like a large emotionless ant, like a herd mentality. There's no emotions. It's very cold. It's all business. I have a device that eliminates them when you use it on it. What it'll do is they'll move away, then they'll come right back, the ones that aren't directly affected by it. The laminar has a totally different feeling to it. When you come physically in contact with the laminar, it's a warm, smooth feeling, like laminated silk rubbing on your skin. The feeling is different, and the emotional patterns are different. Emotionally, it's close to a human female, except that it's like a businesswoman who's only interested in her own criteria, and that's the difference.
Okay, now let's tell our listeners what we're going to be doing during the show today. The bottom line is that you believe these forms are negative.
Mm-hmm. Some of them. The tinglers are negative. I'm not sure about the laminars.
Okay, and you have developed a device. Mm-hmm. What is the name of the device?
I affectionately call it a crystal pistol. I think that's a name that's been used by other things, but it also describes what's here.
Now, essentially what it does is it sends out a sound, which is a recording of a Pleiadian spacecraft, if my understanding is correct.
Yeah, the recording is greatly altered. There were certain alterations I did with it, quite a bit of alterations, to modify it to be able to use in this device.
And what it does is it effectively annihilates the tingle form.
What it does, it apparently ruptures the casing of them, and they just dissolve. When this occurs with an individual, there is a large feeling of static buildup around the body in a cloud-like format that's not symmetrical. Then it lasts about 45 minutes to an hour. It falls off, and that's it. There's also propagations of these things in buildings. If you enter a building with a heavy air feeling about it...
Now, wait, let me interrupt you. Okay. So if a person had one of these attached to them, just listening to the show and having the sound come over through the radio is going to get this thing off them.
Yes, it'll do it. What there should be is a slight tingling sensation. There should be a presence of like a small amount of what feels like static electricity on the skin, but it will not shock or discharge when you touch metal. There should be some changes. The individual will, within 15 minutes or so, notice an increase in thinking capacity, and reaction time will increase, and vision will clear slightly. This is not making medical claims. It's just releasing something that happens to be dampening a person around them. And that's my experience with it, and that's from substantial testing.
And, of course, if a person felt somewhere here that's in the listening audience that there's something in their home or something in their neighborhood that maybe has answered to some of this explanation. If this sound that we're going to be playing were to get to that, it would certainly clear that thing out of there. If it's what we are talking about.
Yeah, in structures and buildings, they have a tendency to change people with handshakes. They have a tendency to hide out, usually up in the ceiling areas in corners. Their presence is detectable in a house. If you walked into a house or a building, they like places where people are suffering, say like emergency rooms and hospitals, doctor's offices, places like that.
Let's talk why. Let's explain what they do. What actually do they do? In other words, why Do they like those areas?
Okay. What I found is in the Los Angeles area depicted in the Herman research papers, there is a grid line of ley line energy connections that they run across. And these connect to hospitals and places of cemeteries and places like that. And after considerable research, it's my conclusion that what they do is consume human body field. And they do this in a couple of ways. They irritate people to make their meat seasoned, if you would, to make the field large and to get it to the characteristic that they like, and then they nibble on the end of it.
All right, now let's clear some definitions here. Surrounding every person is an energy field. It can be called an aura. By those people who want to call it an aura, it can be called an energy field if you are scientific and you don't want to call it an aura.
It can be called a soul by religious people, too.
Yes. Now, the point is that all of us have this field. I've been told that it can extend out as much as 30 feet. Mm-hmm. And the point that you're making is that these particular, we can't call them organisms because they're not organisms. Energy fields. They eat or live off of a certain amount of the human energy field. Mm-hmm. And they are smart enough to know that if they were to instigate and create certain types of emotional reactions in the human being, they can make it even bigger and more intense, right?
Yes, like, for example, like we would feed a cow things that would fatten it up and not be to the cow's best interests, in the same manner. It puts itself over you like an invisible overcoat and makes changes in how you operate for its own needs, which is specifically for food, or to get you to build something for it, or do something at once. And mainly it's for food.
Don't tune out. This is the sound I want you to hear, the one that will clear or annihilate the area that that you are in, if there are any of these tingle forms around. And then we'll come back and listen and talk more about it. So, at the count of 3, 2, 1 backwards, and we'll hear the sound. Are you ready, folks? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, Timeless Voyager Radio. You've been listening to the machine sound that David has created here. David Lee Herman is my guest today. We are talking about, I'm not sure how to say this, David, why don't you continue? You were talking about the sound for a second.
Okay, well, as we were discussing earlier, Bruce, the sound is specifically designed to eliminate what I call a tingle form, a tingle field. And it's an alien presence, if you would, in a different state of matter. Something similar to an ice cube that's been heated up and become steam. You can't see it, but you can touch and feel it, and you can definitely feel its effects, which are basically negative to people. The sound has a tendency to rupture the entity, if you would, and cause it to disperse and relieve a person of the feelings we've been discussing. And the interesting point about the sound that you've just been listening to is there's three components in here. There's a sound that warbles and ripples and goes at a fairly constant rate and then makes a swooping sound or a swoop upward in change in tone and amplitude and gain and loudness there. That's the part that actually does it. From my research, I find that the part that leads up to that swoop sets up a condition, and then when it makes the climb, that's when the breakage occurs, and that's when the entity ceases to exist. In other words, in a tape recorder, you can have it in a tape recorder, and if you have one of these on you, you push play, and for the entity, it's game over. That's what happens.
David, why don't you mention to people what you think you don't want to tell people what's going to happen, but why don't we talk about some things that have happened after this sound has been played?
Okay. If you have one on you, a large one on you, usually people have a tucking in the chest, and usually people have an aversion to the sound. They say, oh, that's horrible, turn it off, or whatever, and that's, I think, the alien entity on you is a telepath, and I think that's the last thing that goes through its mind, kind of like the eyes of a fly when it hits your windshield. But that's one thing that'll happen. And then you have the staticky feeling around you and the other effects we've been talking about. And generally, to put it, sum it up as quickly as I can, the effects are noticeable on a slight level. on various degrees of level. If you have an implant, if you're one of the unfortunate people who have been abducted and you have an implant, you'll notice it on a little stronger level. There may be a slight discomfort where the implant was because they do react to it. Afterwards, there's no more connection to the implanted where the implant transmits to. It has a tendency to disconnect them in some cases. I was working with a police officer, Phil Berkhoff, with this, and he's retired from the LA Police Department, and he had implants, and we did some research in this area along with other people. It's a very interesting interesting thing here.
Now, it also has been noted by you and by some of the people that you've worked with that there have also been an abnormal number of sightings of UFOs when this sound has been broadcast.
Well, that abnormal number of sightings, Bruce, has basically been done to what is a result of what I've been doing. I'm a person that walked into a cave in California, and I was assaulted, if you would, by something that wasn't from here, that's alien in nature, and it's hostile. And a lot of people, I want to clear something up here, a lot of people look at aliens in different viewpoints. I think there's two schools of thought with UFO research. One is the ETs or aliens are here and they're all benevolent and beneficial. And the other school of thought is that they're here and they're all demonic and bad news. I have a disagreement with both of these fields, and I've got a different viewpoint. I think that just as there are many fish in the sea, some of which may appear like a jellyfish, which are totally bizarre and odd, I think we live at the bottom of an ocean of air. And I think there are things above us that are odd, and I think the ability to transmute matter, if you would, into different states of matter, such as ice to steam, you know, water from ice to steam, is common between these. And the way I look at it, there are many fish in the sea. A dolphin would save a swimmer's life. A shark, you know, would not. From my viewpoint, there's nothing different here than what we have dealt with all over the world. When you're walking down a trail, the friendly little squirrel that comes up to nibble the nut from your hand is one thing, the rattlesnake is another, and it's simply a matter of learning which is which and what's necessary to deal with it. In that, I don't consider what
I'm... So basically, you're saying there are benevolent and malevolent beings all over the place, including humans.
Oh, yes.
After all, you can walk down any street and someone who looks okay could turn around with a knife.
That's true. And then again, somebody with the knife might be, you know, trying to cut you free of something that's going to harm you, too. You never know.
All right, let's change a little bit and talk about what you discovered in the Bronson Cave Complex. Mm-hmm. You've actually named different areas where you have found groupings of, I believe, tingle forms.
Mm-hmm. In the initial research of this, Bruce, what I did is I was exposed to this entity field. I found that it had a UFO base to it. So even though I up until that time didn't put much credibility in my own thinking in UFOs, I went to a meeting, met a young gentleman, Mr. Sean Morton. He played the original tape to me in his apartment where this started from. He was doing research on Area 51. And he took me down and showed me some film. And in the course of that, he played the original tape from the Billy Moore.
Now, let's really quickly just say Area 51... For our listeners,
okay,
what is that?
It's an area north of Las Vegas, about 180 miles north, where there's testing, allegedly, of flying saucer craft and a connection between the government and aliens. That's what is reported in UFO circles.
All right.
Okay, so he played this tape, and the original tape he played was the Billy Meyer incident, at which time there was a physical reaction, and something came off the front of my body and ended up in the center of the room. And you don't have to be psychic to see it. It appeared like waving heat lines in the desert off a mirage, distorting your view to plants as you look across the desert. And we had a reaction. We were able to get somewhat of a picture of the thing because light reacts to different things in different ways, and we have a way of getting photographs of it, and we have a picture of it. So at that point, Mr. Morton was interested in it, but was not overly so. He decided to go back to Area 51, and I pursued this. And what I did is I went back to Bronson Cave, and I found that you had reactions from it sometimes, but not all the time. What I had was something that reacted with this entity field, but it wasn't consistent.
Is Bronson Cave where you originally got caught one of these?
Yes. I went back to Bronson Cave, and answering your question on the locations, in the research report I produce maps with little X's where they are, and I call them sentry points. And anybody can go up there and put their hand in one of these points. It's well spelled out in the article, and you can most people can feel them. I'd say, 8 out of 10 people can physically feel the thing. And if you stay in contact with one of these for more than a minute, they're very slow moving. It takes about a minute and a half for one to climb over you. Then you have a problem because you've got it, or it's got you. And what I was doing is experimenting with it, and I found the initial sound would occasionally have this effect, but not all the time. So I began to do research and find out why. Now, this is cute, because in the course of doing the research, I went to different shows like the Whole Life Expo and things, and I played the sound to groups of people that would come by. And in the course of this, there was a woman in the next area down from the Middle East, and she was doing a meditation thing on a yoga table with a massage and a meditation thing. And part of it was she would emit a yodeling-like sound, and this sound that she would emit on a person's back was very similar to the sound that I had. So I made a recording of this and used it for research, and that didn't take me too far until I started listening to the sound that I had, and I realized there was a pulse beat to it, and that pulse beat was very similar to an American Indian pulse beat, an American Indian drum beat. So I went to Sedona, Arizona, and became involved with some Indian people up there, and I listened to the sounds, and when I took the two recordings, and or the three recordings from the two older culture sounds and this Pleiadian sound, I realized that the difference was that on the older culture sounds, the American Indian chant, for example, as well as the Middle Eastern sound, there was a monotone carrier over it. To give you an example, an Indian chant might go something like, well, there's that constant tone in there. So what I did is I started playing with monotones and constant tones, and I found that that had an increase in the efficiency of it. And then I ended up taking and doing a little studying on Carl Tesla's work with frequencies. I then ended up making field coils and found that if I place a quartz crystal in a field coil with certain monotones overlaid on this sound, the alterations made it fairly effective, and then I had a weapon system.
Why Graystrike?
After I was able to build myself a defensive weapon system, I then had no fear of these, and I began a series of research which is essentially was presenting myself as a guinea pig. I would go in, I would present myself and spend the time, allow the tingle form to come over me. I would take it away, I would probe it psychically as far as I could go with it. In 2 or 3 days, I was totally disgusted with what it was doing to me. So I would terminate it and go back, wait a bit, and go back and get another one. I took 26 out of the Bronson Cave and 14 out of another.
So you're kind of like someone studying plant life or insect life or animal life.
Well, I'm an individual. I'm basically a truck driver by trade, and we have a tendency. We don't get like to get pushed around, and this pushed me and two other of my friends, and I'm tenacious in that area, and I don't like to get pushed. So my first attempts were to deal with it from a learning standpoint to see what it was about, and I learned it was a one-way telepath. It speaks. You're supposed to listen and obey, and that's it. They're impossible to communicate with. At that point in time, I was finding artifacts from what I was learning psychically from the entity and from verifying it by looking for physical evidence on the sites. It became very apparent that it's you could call it demonic, and that it's involved with ritual magic, and many of the sites have sacrifice evidence on them. They have circles on them. And then at the Herman Research Report is a basically a map of Los Angeles of interconnected grid lines generated from ritual circles that are not only put out in stone circles in caves, but they're actually built into buildings. So this led me to a study of a mind control situation where these things are apparently involved in a great deal of what people do, build, and how people operate. After a lot of consideration and finding a lot of very negative things of deaths and killings, of connections with hospitals and cemeteries and places of ritual sacrifice, I've had I found what I consider a central base. There was a spider web arrangement of ley lines patterns that come from that, like spokes of a hub that come out. When you find an area of incident in one point, if you go past the originating point in the center about the same distance in the opposite direction, you'll find another incident, place of incidence. It's just like a spider web overlaid over Los Angeles with major connections, and each major connection, they all have one ley line or pointing to Area 51 north of Las Vegas, which again ties in an alien situation.
Now, your conclusion, or at least part of your theory here, is that these forms create havoc with the human being, such as jealousy, desire, lust, murder, anything that, that creates a tremendous excitation mm-hmm. in the aura field or the energy field, specifically for their ability to consume that and what? Build their own energy up from it?
I think what they're doing is using it for food. I have a theory that they've been here on Earth for a very long time. Bruce, in the buildings that I've researched, for example, Mount San Antonio College, if you look at it on a map, you know, in Los Angeles, a Thomas Brothers map, for example, page 93 in the old one, you'll find that, as I've depicted in the research report, the building is built like the King's Chamber in the Pyramid of Giza. And it's an interesting point that in Giza, the King's Chamber was offset from the center axis approximately 14 degrees. And if you drop a 14-degree line through this position relative to true north, you'll find that it goes from San Clemente Island through Edwards Air Force Base to the nuclear facilities at China Lake. Okay, the setup, Bruce, that I was talking about is the ley line setup that's going across Los Angeles. And it's just like anything else. As soon as you discover something, it leads you to five other questions and five other discoveries, which leads you to another 25 discoveries and questions. So the bottom line of all this is that over the Los Angeles area, there exists an interconnected ley line area that it connects with a large ley line area that comes from the east, from Greystone, correction, not Greystone, but from Seops and Giza to Stonehenge. It comes through Los Angeles over the Greystone area down there. Over a central point in Los Angeles, bends, goes down to Easter Island. Then what it does is it apparently drops down and goes to these different areas like Greystone, and then it fans out like a spiderweb arrangement all across L.A. It involves government offices. It involves the positioning of military bases all around the Los Angeles area. It involves the positioning of hospitals, water reservoirs. It involves any place where there's death, hospitals, cemeteries, places of ritual sacrifice, of which I found 18 when I wrote the report, in a very small area of about 25 miles wide by 11 miles wide by 25 miles long. It led me to numerous discoveries about how the dark side of the occult works. I discovered that what people call magic is not magic, it's alien technology and the use of. I started to study magic societies, and I found that, like with the Golden Dawn, for instance, or look at another one, the Masonic Lodge, that each one of them have such systems whereby an individual is permitted to grow up to a certain point and then is held at that level. I see magic in general as a language of a technical language. In fact, in some of the areas, the symbols actually relate to what could be described as an electrical schematic or a technical engineering paper or drawing. And there are large systems in the Los Angeles area that use this form of energy. And I find that very interesting. I've made massive breakthroughs in this area, and I've put out messages to many people that the people who practice certain areas of magic are really using alien technology. Then I decided to go into what's called Operation Graystrike. And the reason I made the decision is I found that the inference on myself, the invasion on myself when I went into the cave, was not acceptable, nor was it acceptable on the people around me. Since I've been doing the research, I've had numerous people having problems doing this research. There's been a couple of very messed up people because of the involvement with these things. I look around at my world that I live in, and I'm becoming to realize that these things are basically moving in and taking over. They are presenting themselves in different ways that's misleading. People who perform magic, for instance, are sucked into or led into a situation of one area they believe to be the case. And it's not the case. They're being used. The systems of magic, such as Golden Dawn and the things practiced in Masonic lodges and things, have a very high involvement with government and how the buildings are built and how people live. And I'm finding that
But let me interrupt.
Go ahead.
But the point here is that you're my understanding of your belief is that this is all manipulative, mm-hmm. and that the people that are participating in these things absolutely don't know what's going on. And what I think what you are against, and we discussed this once before, is the fact that not only are we humans being manipulated, but we're being manipulated just for what purpose? Food.
Food and slaves.
Okay. And I mean, a lot of people find this hard to believe. Now, there's one other thing I want to mention, too. You, because of your discovery, have found this network in the Los Angeles area. Mm-hmm. But you indicated to me that you believe these are all over the world.
Yes. I've found a network in Los Angeles. I found a smaller network in Oregon, even in little towns like around, I forgot the name of the town. Not Portland, it's south of Portland. Anyway, there's a small town in Oregon. The name escapes me. I found Coos Bay, Oregon. Up in Coos Bay, in that area, there's a small network. I found another small network in Las Vegas, Nevada. There's these little networks all over. And it's apparent that these things have been here for a long time. They have a different time relationship than we do. Magic people have the misconception that you can always deal with one of these entities or elementals or whatever they choose to call them. Well, I disagree with that, because if I were a human being and a fly came to me and said, well, I've discovered what you are, so if you come over here in my corner, I'll pester you, and the human being might say, well, okay, I'll go work someplace else because tomorrow you're not going to exist anymore because your lifespan's only 24 hours, and I'll come do what I want to do anyway. And that's why you can't manipulate these things. I found them to be not to the interest of people. Now, in their defense, I'm also going to say this. They're another life form, and they're doing their thing just like we do ours, and what they're doing to us is no worse than what we do to cattle. From a cow's viewpoint, the rancher is a demon. The cattle probe is a weapon. From the rancher's viewpoint, the cattle is food, and the probe, the cattle prod, is a tool. So it's all on viewpoint. And one of the major points that I want to get across here is, since this discovery, I have changed my thinking totally. Before, I figured all of this out. I was like most people, and I was, the government is doing this horrible thing over here, and this isn't right here, and, these people should be condemned for this and that and the other thing. Well, there's a thing called the Roman axiom of divide and conquer. And if you've got an outside group coming in with this type of technology capable of manipulating on a psychological level to this degree of mind control, and what we're talking about here is something that can latch itself over a person and telepathically inject a thought where the individual cannot differentiate a thought of their own versus a thought being injected. And after discovering that, I've come to the conclusion that with this invisible invasion, if you would, that the first thing they do is go to the people or the type of people who have ascended to positions of authority and leadership, and that I don't believe at this point in time too much of the people who are in a position of authority or leadership are really running the boat with their own oars, because I think there's something else out here that's involved with this. And if, from a logical standpoint, if you want to test this theory yourself, just take a look and ask yourself this question. If the AIDS virus, for example, was a manipulated thing by people, as some people suspect it is, to whose interest would it be? It wouldn't be to the interest of the government, because they're going to lose taxpayers and also authority, authoritarian symbols and also territories that they could grow their field with. It wouldn't be to the insurance company's interests. It would not be to the banker's interests, who could not continue to do business with positively infected people. So what human group is this disease or this situation that's allegedly developed by people, to what group would it, human group would it be advantageous to? None. There's things happening that are beyond the control of people, and I think I've found where the culprit is, if you would. Not only with that, but with many other things. So, in answering Bruce's questions here a little while ago, I've come to the conclusion that what we really need to do is not attack individuals in government or banking families or insurance companies, but try to pull together as people to work together to solve our own problems. And one of those problems is to rid ourselves of this particular item. That's real important.
Right. Let's play the sound so that people can start ridding the areas of these entities. So let's go back and try this once again. 3, 2, 1. All right, and why don't we continue? You're going to talk a little bit about, I forget what you just told me.
The Operation Gray Strike that you were mentioning. Okay, to sum up that, after a lot of research and a lot of experimentation and a lot of observation, I determined that this thing is basically pretty negative. It's not really as demonic as other people look at it as. But anyway, it needs to be eliminated. It needs to be pushed out. I'm in a position where I found something of what I consider immense importance, and I don't feel comfortable with walking into a government office with this and saying, hey, you have something you should be aware of. Please take care of business, because I feel that the levels of government needed to be to take care of business are already pretty involved with this. I am also not comfortable in walking into certain church areas and say, hey, you have a problem because you've been infiltrated a little bit, and there are certain things you need to do to clean house. And certain people would be talking to me while they would be setting up the stake and gathering the kindling. So that's not real practical either. So here I am. I'm faced with something that I have a device that has effects on these things. So I'm doing the only thing that I consider reasonable, and what that is to attempt to fight back. I've got a group of people. They have I've shared the technology with. We are making weapon systems out of this. We have four generations of weapon systems on the Sound, a means of poisoning them, and a means of entrapping them now. So what we're doing is Operation Gray Strike. And we executed that on April 30th, and it makes little changes. I've had feedback that some of the people who practice magic aren't real happy with it because it has a reaction with some of their operations. Others, it does not. But in the context of that, I can teach them things about what they call magic they're not aware of, and the end result will be they will be able to make whatever they do more effective and also have a better understanding of it and allow them to avoid the pitfalls or entrapments in it. So that's very positive. There's other effects. There was effect in the weather area a little bit. There have been some other effects logged of our own personal observations. So what I'm doing is I'm a different sort of person, and I've moved into a mode of basically trying to fight back, and I figure that if I fight back and make a big enough influx in this, and these reactions are observable by other people in other parts of the world perhaps, in other places where there may be these matrixes, these ley-lined tingle-form interactive matrixes and grid patterns, that perhaps it'll all come to light, and then everybody will advance from it, and the knowledge will advance. And that's what basically I'm all about, Bruce.
Now, let's talk a little bit about, in Greystone, you have looked at the magic symbols and actually have listed them. What's interesting is that the symbols also seem to be the same effects that the tingle forms cause, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
For example, you've listed a number of these, Citri, Aim, Malthus, Rome. Mm-hmm. Why don't we talk a little bit about those, what they are,
okay. And
then how those are connected, you believe, with the tingle forms?
One of the Greystone Park in Beverly Hills is what I believe to be the main base, and the people that built it were a very fine bunch of people. They were the Doheny family in Beverly Hills. To give you an idea of the caliber of the people that they were, they built churches to the faith of their choice. They built libraries. They poured their wealth back into the community. They built the first eye bank in Los Angeles. They were, in my opinion, the highest caliber people you could possibly run into. They also
The reason you tell everyone that is because, with this in mind, you're going to tell us what happened to them when somehow this alien force got into their lives.
As I've mentioned earlier, what you're dealing with is apparently a alien life form that puts itself over a person and injects thought. And what this does is the individual cannot differentiate their thought from their own. And as a result, this group built a beautiful place in Beverly Hills, California, called Greystone. And if you take a real serious look at it, though, you'll find that all the gardens, the buildings, and just about everything on the property is laid out after black magic symbolisms from the Gota. If you look at it further, as I have, you will find that the black magic symbolisms used actually relate to an electrical schematic with energy flows that relate to body fields as described by Carl Krillian and Thelma Moss in their research. So what I see Greystone as is a monumental 19-acre site that's very similar to CEOPS in its function. And it's using a technology that's beyond electricity, that's beyond our understanding of energy. And this energy flow can be related to stuff we can relate to in the way of electronics, such as amplifiers and things, by the symbols. And the symbols are the equivalent of electrical schematic.
Oh, okay, great. Because what I was going to say was what people need to understand then is that what you have at this point looked at is the fact that these tingle forms and laminars, I guess, together are creating some type of large machine that, you know, you don't understand what it does, but you understand how they get their energy.
I understand quite a bit about how it works and what it does.
All right.
There's the equivalent of a computer complex on Greystone, and I'm in the process of breaking down the coatings. I'm fairly successful at that, and I've been making experimentations redirecting these things, and I can affect them in another covert way in that way. And I feel it's fair to deal with that, these things just the same as the other. I have a great deal of information for that family if they're ever interested. I'd like to contact them or have them contact me. I am not detrimental nor hostile towards these people whatsoever. I just have some information for them that they ought to know, and it's basically for their ears only.
Now, you use the term black magic. Why don't you just use black magic for what reason?
Because that is...
The intent?
No. The only reason that I mention black magic is the fact that the particular seals used, you know, in the layout of this place relate to that area of magic. This is in other books, such as Anna Riva's book of magical seals and amulets, for instance, and other things that I've used as reference work. There are certain seals that are related to white magic and certain seals related to black, which is really irrelevant because you can use the dark side of magic to do very positive things too, and vice versa. So it's just how people allocate the seals, and the seals that I find on this property are in that area. And that's the way the seals that are used here are described in other works and other books.
So now you believe that this entire setup, the way that has occurred, is an actual schematic of some type of device. It's got its own transformer, phototransistor, energy pulses, grounds, filters, everything that would be needed. What do you think this thing is doing?
The garden, I'm certain of, is a low-frequency oscillator that supplies energy to two points, one being the structure, the other one being a point across town. The structure has a roof line that's aimed at a reactor facility just west of Groom Lake. You have another connection with the alien situation there. The interesting point is that structure was built around 1929, and reactors didn't exist then. And I find it fascinating that I have all of these correlations from all these structures across Los Angeles. The San Fernando Mission is one where the gardens in there, which also are involved with these ley line things, point to aircraft military bases, and airplanes didn't exist in 1797 when it was built. So it's as though you have something that's of a higher level, that's operating in a different time zone, that's directing people to construct items here, such as missions and estates and gardens and things, that and colleges, that are pointing to things to be developed at a later date that are components of this device, if you would, and it's a big device. It's all over the place.
So we're being really number one manipulated here.
Yes.
All right, let's take a moment, folks. Again, the purpose of this was to get this sound out and to at least... Let these things know that we know they're here. So let's listen to the sound once more for about 15 seconds, and then we're going to wrap the show up. So I will do a backwards 3, 2, 1, and then we'll do this once more. 3, 2, 1. We are back once again after the sound. David Herrmann is my guest, Bruce Stephen Holmes for Timeless Voyager Radio. We talked just briefly about UFOs. There seems to have been some type of activity after hearing this.
Yes, Bruce. While I was doing Operation Graystrike, I injected the sound into specific areas, terminals, if you would, of this machine. It's interesting that after that, within a few days after, there have been reports to MUFON of UFOs coming over the area, being chased by helicopters and hovering over the points that I did that. Also, Ann Druffy, another researcher, read my report and indicated that some of the groupings of lines, of ley lines that I have projected from this means of research that I've done from these ritual circles, are the flight paths of UFOs that go over the Los Angeles area that she's been monitoring for quite a while. Also, a gentleman that goes by the name Tal and did work with William Hamilton on his book Cosmic Top Secret. They came up with another series of lines in a book, Cosmic Top Secret, on their map, which was relative to underground passageways. And it's interesting that the positions of these underground passageways either parallel or go to the same point with these lines as the lines on my map, even though, even in my grid, even though they're obtained from totally different area. I have collaboration from Hank Kratzman, who studied the ley lines, and from many other people, you know, who are getting into this, and some of the stuff from Al Bielek is now surfacing and becoming knowledgeable to me, and there's a lot of correlations with what I'm handling here and what other people are finding. It's fascinating, and I think that's the bottom line of whether you're correct or not, of whether it has collaboration. Everything that I'm telling you here is on the surface. It's easy to come by and go and observe for yourself. It's not under the ground or on some secret base. It's right in the Los Angeles area. Anybody can walk up there, follow the instructions, and see for themselves what's there. And if you're not sensitive enough to feel one, you can look at the hardware and the what's built into the buildings and see for yourself the reality. All you need is a handheld compass and a map, and you can follow the instructions.
Now, what's really important is you've said that there is a way for people to succeed and recover. And let's do that real quickly, because we want to leave people with an upbeat note here.
Okay, with the upbeat note, and this is good advice for life too, is if you can manage to roll off the couch and separate those roots you're growing into the couch there in front of the screen, and do something, whatever it is, you know, we can overcome this, and there's a couple of things that need to be done. And the first thing that needs to be done is we need to stop bickering between ourselves. We need to stop being divided and conquered by this thing. We need to stop being pitted against each other, the same way that they get somebody to build one of these components for the system. And these ceramic, ritual centers and libraries or whatever. Okay, what we need to do is stop bickering with government and actually work with it in order to achieve the common goal for everybody. And the same way with the church, state, banking people, and everything. We need to take control of our world, and we need to do it. And this sound here is most important, in my opinion, because it's a means of demonstrating to those who have the effects, and I know there will be, but to those who have the effects, the demonstration should be one of the reality of the situation, and that's the best collaboration you can possibly have. So that's what I have to say.
Great. Well, thanks very much for being on the show, David. It's been a real pleasure. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to Timeless Voyager Radio. This is Bruce Stephen Holmes, and I hope that your own personal voyage through life towards development of your highest potential is a joyous and successful one.